Live from the Battleborn Broadcast Center, it's Cofield and Company.
2 days ago, yeah. Everything changes in a day. Lost my grandmother, She slowly wilted away, yeah. Like an apple left outside off the tree. Up in heaven with Macho Man. Lots of different Oompa Loompas in the first movie, yeah. You had a bunch of Oompa Loompas, yeah. Standing on top of all the other Oompa Loompas. Yeah. At the top of the mountain, yeah.
Cofield and Company. 5 o'clock hour. NBA Finals. Game number 5 is coming up. We'll throw it to National around 5:30. That was our Macho Man impression challenge.
That's pretty easy.
Between, do you know which one was which?
I know the first one for sure. And it was far superior. Because the second one, I thought you were going to play the same person again. And I was like,
no.
Is he sick? What's going on here? And it's like, oh, no.
I think Sasso's is pretty good.
The first one is so much better.
And who's the first one?
It was definitely Dan Soder. And the best part about that is, It was true. It was the day after his grandma died. He was actually telling the story of her passing away, but he was uncomfortable, I think, telling it. So he's like, I'll just do it in Macho Man voice.
We had a discussion in the 4 o'clock hour where I was trying to jump in to kind of reset. I'll give advice to people out there who do this podcast and radio shows. Shut up.
For the clean audio?
Yeah. Well, that and like Soder and Sasso, especially Soder, he's trying to get on a roll and it's like people are interject. Let him do the impression.
Well,
get some momentum here.
To be fair, I think, if I'm not mistaken, because I do know Dan Soder's career very well, I think the first one was from a podcast called We Might Be Drunk, and they were all trash. Now, Dan Soder's not because he's sober, but I think everybody else.
I don't think I'd like that.
Yeah, I think everybody else on the set was very drunk.
Our vast sound crew doesn't have time to chop and slice and dice. Let him go.
yeah.
Let him go.
So, I mean, I think, to be fair, I think everybody else, I think there was three other guys on the set at the time, and they were drunk.
Fantasy Football League, we're coming up with a penalty for a league that we're in.
Set the text.
A lot of Kansas City folks in radio come to Vegas, hang out for 2 or 3 days. They get their fun pass. And you're only offering up that restaurant?
Well,
because it has to be 24 hours?
Only because,
would you be interested in doing 12 hours if it gave you more variety on restaurants? Okay.
No, I think the whole thing is you're stuck in one place. The part of it is kind of going crazy, getting stir crazy in there too. Like you got to try to keep, because you don't want to be comfortable and like be able to go to another place and reset. Like you want somebody to start freaking out to where like I need to start eating more because I need to get out of here.
Pressure's on.
You want that. Now, the only reason I would propose just adopting this is because it's going to be impossible to get everybody to agree not only on a new place but also how much value each. Yeah. Item is worth.
Another league came up with a system and minutes attached to each food item.
Yeah.
And you can kind of make your choice of what you want to eat and how much time you want to lop off.
Yeah.
It's already structured.
It'd be easy because I'm totally down. And I think Justin, from the sounds of it, would agree. We're totally down to come up with a new place and a new structure. But it's going to take time to even get people to agree to doing it in the first place. The actual details, almost impossible.
I'll tell you right now, I'm only going to have one thing where I'm going to fight and have input on.
Oh, boy.
Because you'll have like 10.
Oh, in terms of the rule?
The location.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm open to all kinds of places. I think Fazoli's went away. That would have been the great one.
My only demand is, along with the pressure of trying to get the hell out of there and maybe going stir crazy, the place cannot have Wi-Fi, cannot have easily accessible power.
Yeah, that's what I wanted.
Because there are lots of places that, I don't know if you find this, that I stop at, and surprisingly, they still don't have Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
I hit a place the other day, I don't want to say what it is.
But before you say, I think a lot of that's intentional. They don't want people just sitting there all day.
I mean, that's the thing. How awful am I? Nah, I'm going to say it off the air. No, I'm not even going to name the place. I went into a place. I sat at a table, I plugged in, I worked for an hour and 5 minutes, I didn't buy anything, and I never walked up to the counter. But it was also a social experiment, because I have a feeling if other people did that, they'd be like, what's going on here? You gotta buy something.
Yeah.
And by the way, only power, no Wi-Fi. I use my own Wi-Fi.
Okay.
But I will go next time I go, I will buy a treasure trove of, I'm not going to name the place, but I might get some subs. Fair. That could be anywhere.
Sure.
That could be anywhere. But I did feel like a horrible human being.
I have a couple of friends that make fun of the fact that I eat at almost the same place like 3 or 4 times a week.
Yeah.
But it's not because I think the place is great. I mean, it's fine.
It's all about the it's Wi-Fi. It's because and the
they
power.
Have Wi-Fi and a power outlet at yep. one particular table in the back that nobody ever sits at.
Yep.
And it's quiet it's in the massive. Back corner. It's great. And that's why I go there.
I'm kidding. I won't do that to everyone. And we also can't pick a location because we have people coming in from, you know, two different areas.
Yeah, I think that you would have to do it maybe before next draft.
Oh, like
when they're
on.
Back in Vegas.
You'd make them fly out for part of their vacation in Vegas and they have to sit at a,
yeah.
I mean, that is a penalty.
Or they could do it if it's a place that is in both locations, because yeah, we have people in, you know, both Kansas City and here in this league.
We have some people here who go to Kansas City for baseball. Got to do it on your part of your vacation to Kansas City is ruined.
Or you can do it on your own there. You just have to have somebody there to document it, which now that's not fair to the other person.
I love it. You just have to have someone there to document it.
Now it's not fair to the other person.
It's very great stuff. I'm not mad at Rory McIlroy. I saw the video of him peeling out in the parking lot and not talking to the media. I'm very big on supporting the media. There's no way I would have stayed.
That's rough. He did put out a statement today, but he didn't really apologize for leaving or anything.
I can't. I mean, those putts were – that's horrendous. It's
awful. Just terrible.
I mean, I miss a second. Luckily, I'm not good at anything. But if I miss a second one, I'm going to hit someone with the putter. And I don't mean like right in front of me. It's going to get whipped and some innocent bystander like who will never see it coming. Like I would love to have a lake near me. Because I had a friend do that one time where he threw a club, he whipped a club like over a bush, and then on the other side of the bush was a lake. He's like, yeah, club's gone.
Yeah.
I don't know how you do that after you miss those putts.
Somebody that was mentioned off the air today during a break, I played golf with one time, and he threw his club into the lake on the second hole.
Oh, wow. Well, I've played with people who've snapped their clubs.
Sure.
I actually snapped one around my back. Like I kind of wrapped it around my back. I got so mad. I just swung it again and bounced it off my back and it snapped. It was an old classic club too. I shouldn't have done that. Well, I'd probably still be playing.
Miss it?
I do miss it. It was my persimmon three wood. It's beautiful material. I think it would have lasted forever. Gone.
You probably weren't doing much with it anyway.
I was not. No. Aggressively fighting to shoot.
Yeah, it would have been 92. It would have been tough. To miss. I mean, he hadn't missed a putt of that range all year. Then he missed two. Missed two and two holes.
So short.
It's brutal.
And then you knew the second one. Like, I would never say this about a PGA golfer, like that level golfer. Like, you knew the second one started to get a little freaky because he was standing over it for the longest time. And then as you're watching the TV angle, I'm like, man, he's pointed way too far left. And then, of course, he hits it, and it's still not far enough with the pace and the break. Like, he missed it. That's so horrible. And then of all guys to win it, it's like one of the villains for a lot of people.
He seems fun.
Freaking bad built butch body Bryson DeChambeau.
He seems fun though. I don't.
Oh, he's fun. I don't hate him. Good. He's a provocateur and a troublemaker.
Yeah. Now I will, like you mentioned, you would have hurt somebody with your club by just throwing it into the gallery. I think Bryson nearly killed like 12 people yesterday with his drives. I mean, he was all over the place. I don't know how he kept scrambling back to making scores. They did say there was a great line, and I don't know who said it that was broadcasting. Said, like on his like sixth straight drive that was like into the gallery, he just before he even saw the lie, he was like, I'm sure it's just sitting in a cluster of floor leaf clovers the way that he's playing, and it just was it like somehow sat up because it just kept going. His ball was going off the course every hole, and then just landing like perfectly sitting up on like it was sitting on a weed like teed up for him, and then the next hole was like there's it's 18 bushes and he's right in the middle of it with just a lie on the ground.
I'm glad he admitted that.
No, I'm saying the announcer said it.
Oh, the announcer said
it. Yeah, he didn't.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was getting lucky on every hole with the lie, and it was just wild. But he kept somehow scrambling back and making scores, and then he actually did pay the price on a couple holes, and McIlroy took over and then missed those putts. So drama, great drama on television.
And Rory's got like a 10-year majors drought now, which seems crazy.
Yeah, although in the last six PGAs, he's finished top 10. The last three, he's finished top 5.
That's good, but it's frustrating.
Can't finish.
So earlier in the show, we were talking about Conor McGregor being out of UFC 303. That's here in Vegas. So no Chandler McGregor. By the way, I probably should source this better, but because it's one of these aggregator sites now for MMA. I think I saw Dana White basically say, poor Michael Chandler.
Yeah.
That poor Michael Chandler is going to wait again for Connor to get healthy. Like, bro, just fight.
Yeah. He should. Well, it's easy to say, right?
It's hard for us to say because I don't know. Is he getting, can he make like $25 million off this fight?
Not 25, but I would guess that it would take him. It's a total speculation. This is not reporting at all.
Can he make five fights worth in this one fight?
I was going to say six or seven.
Okay.
So like he would have to take like six or seven fights. Now, if he took three or four and won all of them, then obviously maybe it's different. If he's fighting for a title, then it's a different scenario. But I would say it would take, maybe six or seven fights. He would have to fight a bunch to make what he could make in one fight. So I get waiting.
And according to your sources, and I know you don't want to specify the injury, all I need to know is we were talking about fracture in the same broken leg. Is it less severe than that?
Yes.
Okay, so the speculation, like, oh my God, his leg's never going to heal. He's always at risk. He's not fighting again, Conor McGregor.
Well, I think you could certainly speculate that he's not fighting again.
But when it's a fracture in the same freaking leg, and that is devastating.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. For sure. All right, so
there's
it's
hope.
Not that.
There's hope.
My understanding is the injury that he has is not going to prevent him from fighting again.
Okay.
And probably there are probably people that would believe he could fight this time, but he wants to be fully healthy, and he holds all the cards, so he can make that decision.
Could he be ready by September? I mean, that's the fight card.
I was told no.
He can't be ready for the Sphere.
That he wouldn't be.
He wouldn't risk it.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think they do it because I don't think they can put Connor. And they don't. Yeah, they can't
don't
put Connor
for that one.
But it's also not big enough.
Yeah.
So they wouldn't do that.
Well, the gate would be incredible. The ticket price would be out of control.
But they wouldn't do that.
Are we not going to get him here in the U.S. for his next fight?
I don't have
the schedule in front of me, but.
Well, let's see what they do for like the end of December or January.
All right. I'm sorry to cut you off. You threw out something interesting earlier. You said, there's the mystique of a Conor card, but the new card they put together actually has better fights. It could be a better fight card. I'm going to throw this one at you. Is there any way to sell? I will argue that Chestnut out of the 4th of July hot dog eating contest, the contest is actually the best it's been in years.
Well,
there's going to be seven dudes who can do 48 to 50, 55 hot dogs. And he's had at least a 10 dog gap, except for one year where he lost to Matt Stoney, but he's won 16 to 17. Eight in a row and 16 to 17 or 15 to 16.
It's almost a perfect comparison, really. You lose the big star, the person that everybody wants to tune in and watch, so less people might tune in. But watching a Nathan's 4th of July hot dog contest where nobody knows who's going to win, we haven't had this in our lifetimes.
It's amazing drama.
It's fantastic.
But here's the thing. The way the internet works, even the dominant hot dog champion, I saw some tweet pitching the field that's upcoming and they're like, not going to watch, no interest, no Chestnut, no way. Like, it's a hot dog contest.
Yeah.
And I mean, we take it seriously too.
Of course. And And do you tune into a sporting event for one person who is not going to win? Do you tune into a sporting event because you're intrigued to see who's going to win it? Or because you wanted to see one person perform?
I think it's been proven that star power, villain, or favorite over balance.
Oh, for sure.
It's been proven.
For sure. But I mean, that's a ridiculous concept to me. I guess that's why wrestling's popular. But at the same time, like I'm more intrigued to watch a contest where nobody knows who's going to win. Where you're watching those boards turn over, the flip over the card each hot dog being eaten, and you don't know. And we haven't had that in forever. We've just known who's going to win every single time.
You know what's funny? I don't even think they have I don't think they have judges in front of a lot of the people as they're counting who would actually flag someone for a reversal. I think they've been so used to just people coming in with 26 and 30 hot dogs. It's like, whatever, who cares? Because they are watching Chestnut and a couple of main competitors. Now they're going to have like seven people. They better get the dog count accurate. That's another one. I think they have issues This is ridiculous. Why are we doing
this? Well, because
we get so into that. It's craziness. And here's the other thing. This is what I want from you, right? Because we didn't get to talk about this last week. We were fed a story, and it was a legit story by Griffin. He did his job, but he effed us, right? We were talking about Kobayashi and Chestnut. That's all we want. Then we get a story. I don't even know if you're on that day. We get a story from Griffin that said, hey, it's May 23rd dated. And Kobayashi was like, I'm retiring, stomach issues. His wife had all these good quotes. And we're like, okay, dream's over. And now I feel like were we all part of a work from the beginning there? And is MLE somehow in this work?
I don't think so.
Is he going to show up dramatically? Because if he does the 4th of July, it sets up the, you know, it's not pay-per-view, the Netflix match between him and Kobayashi. So
he's saying pop in, win this.
Yep.
And be like,
it's going to be very last minute. Like, we came to an agreement.
I mean, I'd love it. The drama would be fantastic, but I am into the, and especially because we don't know, I feel like there'd be, I would go back on what I just said, because I think if Kobayashi stepped in, he would win and we would know that he's going to win, but there would still be some drama of like, does he still have it? And he could answer those questions.
Oh, I think that's the setup for the September 2nd.
Yeah.
Yeah. He can't, I don't think you need any more hype before that. The story is this guy retired. Now he's reversed course. And now can the grand old – does he still have it? And whatever, he's – what is he, like 3 years older than Chestnut? Yeah. But he said he had stomach issues. He's not hungry anymore. He doesn't have that desire. How do you come back from that?
He'll get hungry. He'll get hungry.
I believe in him. Yeah. But I still think there's probably about a 10-dog gap now. But we don't want to ruin it. You never know.
Oh, man. Kobe's training, though.
I'm sure.
I think he'll be right there. But for the 4th, I mean, I think you're kind of referencing it, but people are gonna think this is ridiculous. I want judges trained better. I want more focus. Like there is gonna be a renewed, because we haven't had a competitive contest in so long.
Yeah, there's a lot on the line now.
Like this is probably gonna come down to one or two difference. Like it's gonna be very important.
I mean, you think they're really intensely counting some jackass at the end of the table? Firing home 23 dogs, like what does it matter?
Yeah, who cares?
23 or
whether you're ninth place or 12th place, but yeah. Now this everyone could win.
Boy, we're gonna get hyped for this.
So much drama.
It means so much. Yes, the hot dog contest. That's what. Yes, yes, yes.
It's real.
Yes, it is. I saw something really cool yesterday, and I want to tie this to the Celtics and the Mavs playing tonight. Did you see 27,000 people showed up in St. Louis for, was it Birmingham and San Antonio in the UFL? That's a championship game without their team.
Yeah.
That's impressive. Tom Brady is on the field. He's about to present the trophy, whatever it was, with the MVP. Adrian Martinez, who played at, what, Kansas State, Nebraska.
Yeah, for like 12 years.
Birmingham won again. And Brady gets on the field. The entire crowd is booing him.
Well,
now, I don't like St. Louis because they are self-proclaimed best fans in baseball. I don't believe that's the case because I don't think they're intense enough. But they're football fans. I mean, we're talking about – this isn't just, oh, Tom Brady's unpopular somewhere. No, this is St. Louis Rams and Patriots. And these people still remember. Oh, God, yeah. Love them. The intensity.
They taped them. They believe that they were cheated out of a title – in one of the Patriots' first acts of brazen cheating.
I love that. Good job, St. Louis fans.
Yeah. Proud of them.
I don't like Boston fans, but I do have to respect them for their viciousness. So we played a bite about 25 minutes ago. Brian Windhorst said, as a media member, if he takes pictures with fans, he's always got to watch to see what kind of t-shirt they have on, because a lot of times it'll be some, you know, filthy word like F LeBron.
Fair.
Did you see what Kyrie said about Boston and kind of how he didn't get it?
No.
Now, he called them a cult.
They are, probably.
But do you get the sense that he didn't get it? Like, there's a connection you have to make with certain markets, and you can't be flippant. Like, I think that would be kind of like a KD move, you know? Like, what's the big deal? It's only basketball. Like, no, it's not only basketball. If you don't know that going to a market like that, you're screwed.
True.
Yeah, he said, I think that's what I kind of struggled with initially, was that, you know, they have a cult-like dedication. But he said, I think that's what I struggled with initially was figuring out how I'm going to be a great player here while winning championships and also leading a team and selflessly joining the Celtics organization or the cult that they have here. Like Celtics, do you think Celtics fans will get mad at that?
No, they shouldn't.
I think it's freaking compliment of the highest honor.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I mean, I think they'll get mad at anything, really, but they probably shouldn't if they just pay closer attention. But they're not going to be objective on it because all they see is him, what he did there, leaving and then stomping on the logo and all that. Like, that's what they see. And that's the context in which you hear that quote.
Yeah, you're saying they're not going to be objective on him calling him a cult?
No, definitely not.
I mean, they are. A lot of fan bases are.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of them happen to be in the Northeast, and I always call it that Northeast corridor with Philly and New York and Boston. You don't know until you're there.
Yeah, for sure. And that didn't go well. And again, I think everything is context, and so I understand why they would see it in a different light because of what happened, because of all the other things, because context matters to everything.
Turning on your fans is the wrong approach no matter what. I mean, you can turn on them when you leave. I make comments, but while you're there, you're just going to make your life miserable.
Oh yeah. Yeah, for sure.
You don't want to give local columnists like, jabronis like Adam. And I don't think you write stuff like that, but that is kind of classic columnist red meat
fodder. Yeah.
Yep. For a player to be like, these fans, it's only basketball. It's not only basketball.
No, it's important. And he also knows it's important. And I'm sure he has regrets about how it went there and how it worked out, but that's going to be something that carries with them, obviously, for a long time, too. They're never going to get over it or forget about it. He would have to go back there and, like, win a title there for something to change.
Prediction for tonight's game. It's coming up here in at least pregame. Last part of pregame is coming up in less than 8 minutes. The series is over. The Mavs back against the wall, played a good game. The Celts pulled the plug and just said, all right, we're not going to kill ourselves here. We're going to have a 3-1 lead. It's over.
I think it's probably over.
So this will be tomorrow after they win. Maybe you want to go with this, but can we squelch this from the get-go before it even happens? I'm so tired after teams win championships hearing, and maybe you're one of the persons who've done in the past, but already saw this one with the Celtics winning their 18th championship and their path. No Jimmy Butler. No Donovan Mitchell for a couple of games. No Giannis. No Dame for a game. No Randall for the Knicks. No Ananobi. Brunson got beat up. Halliburton missed time. No fourth quarter for Luka in game 3. Now, come on now.
He fouled out.
That was kind of his doing.
Yeah, he fouled
out. The fouls he committed.
Yeah.
But the person then says, but congratulations to the Celtics for a well-deserved NBA championship in the most smarmy, sarcastic fashion you could find.
I mean, I wouldn't include the Luka thing. Otherwise, it's just fact.
These are malicious facts.
Right. I heard
joke,
some of the Celtics players talking about the other day of like, they're going to say we had this easy path. Yeah, you did. But who cares? That's not on the banner. It's not on the ring. You win the ring.
I feel like we do this every single year for every single team. You did it last year to the Golden Knights.
Of course. It's true. Oh,
the Panthers came in. They were beat up. The path was a little bit easier against the Panthers.
Which is factual.
Other teams beat them up.
It's factual. But again, as a team and as fans, who cares? You won. And for a couple of years, people will remember this. And then in 20 years, you'll be like, remember we won that title? It was great. Yeah. Like, people get over it, but it's factual. Why are you mad at facts? That drives me nuts. We talk about this all the time. It's fact. You played a bunch of teams that weren't at their best, that had people beat up. Who cares? But it's true.
It's part of the tournament.
Of course.
Surviving, staying healthy as much as possible. That's part of the tournament.
Absolutely. It's a big part of it.
Thanks to Battleborn Injury Alerts for housing the show today. 766-1400 is a call from anywhere in the state of Nevada number. For Griffin back in the Finley Toyota Studios, it's Cofield NBA Finals coming up right here on ESPN Las Vegas.